reading and writing and radio.
School days, dear old golden rule days, reading and writing and arithmetic, taught to the tune of a hickory stick. I was your girl in calico, you were my blushing barefoot beau. You wrote on my slate, I love you so, when we were a couple of kids.
School days, dear old golden rule days, reading and writing and arithmetic, taught to the tune of a hickory stick. You were my girl in calico, I was your blushing barefoot beau. You wrote on your slate, I love you, Joe,
when we were a couple of kids.
That song is an old favorite. Nobody knows who wrote it, but the singers are Jackie Jackson and me, Kurt Nitzke. You too can sing and read and write and do arithmetic and write love notes too. Now here's another song.
School days. Come on, Kurt, sing.
School days, dear old golden rule days, reading and writing and radio,
boo-hoo-hoo is going to fade-io. We've had our fun in doing shows, but after this spring we're going to close. We'll miss all your writing, that's no lie. Now let's go and eat cherry pie, so we don't cry.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Today, I'm saying goodbye. Not that there won't be the Monster program next week and two more Reading Your Writings before the end of the season. But before we get to the very end, I want to say farewell and not just have Reading and Writing and Radio end its 19 years of coming into your classrooms without some spoken as well as singing words from me. Yes, it's been 19 years. We started before all you kids were born. And some of you teachers have used Reading and Writing and Radio that long and are old and permanent friends. And many of you who've used it less long are also treasured friends. I don't want to lose touch with all you teacher friends, and maybe we can make the late winter meal I've had at my house the last 2 years a yearly potluck. So how did Reading and Writing and Radio get started? Well, up at the University of Wisconsin, they had a program called Let's Write. And the person that was doing that was ready to retire, and they wanted the shows to be kicked up a bit more anyway. And they knew about me and my books, and they came to me and said, would you take over this program, and we'll change the name of it, and it'll be your program. And so I said, yes, I would, and we called it The Author Is You. And the programs from the first year I turned into a book that a number of you teachers know called Turn Not Pale, Beloved Snail, which is a book about writing for everybody in general and kids in particular. And I used it here at Sangamon State as a textbook with my first writing classes, and I'm still using it. Well, then we left Wisconsin, where I was, and we came down to start Sangamon State University, and after a few years at Sangamon, we had a new radio station back in 1975, and Phil Kendall, who was then in charge of public affairs, said, Jackie, why don't you bring your program down here to put it on our radio, because it was still going on up in Wisconsin, to their School of the Air, as they called it. And so I said, okay, and I can use the Wisconsin programs down here, and they can use our programs up there, and it'll be all very nice. But we figured we needed to change the name, and I can remember spending an afternoon brainstorming names. We couldn't come up with one we liked until all of a sudden Phil hit on school days, good old golden rule days, reading and writing and arithmetic. But he said reading and writing and radio. And so that was what we decided to call it. But you know, even though it's a kind of a parody on that old song, nobody much knows the old song anymore. And so they always put reading, comma, writing, comma, and radio, where it's really reading and writing and radio with the O's, with the ands in the middle. And then you see if you're a boy singing, you sing You Were My Girl in Calico, and the girl sings You Were My Blushing Barefoot Beau. A beau is a boyfriend, and it's spelled B-E-A-U. And so it's a sort of a parody. And everybody used to know that song, like Bicycle Built for Two, and other songs that I've discovered people don't know anymore. Incidentally, why do I sing over reading and writing and radio, and why did I make Kurt sing today? You know that I've sung over all these years when my singing voice isn't anything much to brag about. Well, first of all, I like to sing. And also, just because I'm not a singer, that doesn't mean that one shouldn't sing. It's a way of expression. It's like writing expression. This is singing expression. It's words, it's music. And what I hope it tells you, even if you don't know it's telling you that, is that it's perfectly okay to sing anywhere and everywhere. It's a good thing, even on radio or TV, even if you don't warble like a nightingale. So I hope you will all sing and don't be embarrassed and don't say, I can't sing and so therefore I'm not going to. Just like I don't want you to say, I can't write and therefore I'm not going to. Well, down here over WSSR, it was as it was called then, we started, and it still is because we've never changed our, for you kids, because we've never changed our format at the start. It started on the main band, so that and it came into the schools, I think, only twice, two different times during the week. But then it was also on Saturday morning, so that your folks could listen on Saturday and hear your reading. But then things changed, and the school got a lot of side bands for reading to the blind and the visually impaired, and they decided to put reading and writing and radio onto the side band. Well, it made a lot more flexibility as to when you could listen in your classrooms, but it meant that no longer could your parents or your friends or the world at large listen in. And it also meant that we became fairly neglected by WSSU. And eventually they ran out of space for us to do the program over in their studios. But that was a lucky break for me because it meant that I was able to produce the show over here where I am now in the basement of the SSU library down here in Media Lab with my buddy Kurt, and we both enjoy it. Well, after some years, I and some of the teachers, I'm not quite sure where the idea came from, we thought of pen pals, of lacing you all together and having classes write each other. And sometimes we made good matches, and sometimes they weren't so good, and you were disappointed. But overall, it was a wonderful program, the Pen Pal program, and it kept going. We even had some from overseas. I, on my bicycle, stopped in at English schools, and there's one English school that is still corresponding there with Trish McGill in her classroom at Chatham. And they've become good friends and have visited back and forth. So I'm delighted that our show promoted that. And some of the kids that have had pen pals in the past may still be keeping up with those pen pals. Well, it turned out that the classes wanted to meet their pen pal classes, and I wanted Sangamon State to know about the radio show, which was pretty invisible since it goes out over the airwaves and people couldn't hear it anymore on the main band. And I also wanted all of you to come to Sangamon State and to meet you all and to meet your teachers, and literature had a verbal arts festival that wasn't a festival at all because it had no color and no sparkle. I wanted a writing festival that would be wonderful and fun and colorful. And so the first Jamboree came about. And we had it 5 years in a row, and you showed up in your yellow school buses in your bright shirts. Sometimes you all had the same T-shirt with things written on them, like Corgan's Kids, Corgan's Classy Kids, I think it was, down there at Verdon. and various other ones, and you would all have your identification with your class. You had mic time, and every class would get to do something in the mic with everyone listening in around on the hillsides there in the middle of the campus. Everything from stories to plays to break dancing to parodies and poems and all sorts of things. You could do whatever you wanted in your mic time, and it was wonderful. And people brought picnic lunches and had their picnics with their pen pals, and they planned games with their pen pals. We had displays. Every school brought a display that had something to do with verbal arts and writing. And our faculty just knocked themselves out to give you a great time. Jeff Chesky went out and got even more rats so that he could swim them and show you how he did tests on aging rats and how well they could swim and how long they could swim. And the science professors set up chemistry lab experiments and biology things that you could do. Charlie Schweighauser gave you astronomy telescope things, and you'd go up on the roof and look at sunspots and things like that. Jan Dragkamp had African villages where she was over there in the peace camp. We had psychological games. We had musical games. We did all sorts of things, and you toured WSSU and the radio station, and we had the great balloon send-off at the end, each one with your class's verbal arts message on it, and as I recall, one got as far as Ohio one year. Well, the Jamboree started with 1,300 kids, and our last year we had 1,900 kids, and no matter what the bad weather was, up until the Jamboree, on the day of the Jamboree, the sun always shone. And the faculty got laughing about it and saying, "We know the sun's going to come when the Jamboree comes." Well, what killed the Jamboree? Now it can be told. It took some money to raise to have the Jamboree, not a whole lot of money, but it took some to buy the balloons and the helium and advertising and posters and things like that. Anyway, it didn't take much money, and I was going around raising money, as I had for several years, dressed like a cat. I was also dressed the next day like an M&M, and I forget which day it was, but I went in to see if I was getting a dollar from everybody. I said, "I don't want more than a dollar. That's all I want." And so, because it took only about $200, $250, well, we'd already had a small grant from my dean, and I went in to ask her to give me a dollar. And she turned every color of the rainbow and was furious. And I think her problem was, first of all, I'm sure she didn't like seeing me dressed up like a cat. That wasn't very dignified of a university professor. And also, I think she thought it reflected on her that she hadn't, the school hadn't given enough money for me to have the Jamboree. And so she punished me by giving everybody in my program an extra merit rating, but said that I hadn't done anything. And so I didn't get an extra merit rating. And it was just something on paper. It didn't involve any money or anything like that. But it was a punishment. And I said, "Well, what about the Jamboree?" And she said, "That's part of your job." Well, it jolly well wasn't. It was a tremendous effort. It took all my time and quite a bit of other people's time the second semester. And it was an extra service to the university. Who else was bringing in 1,900 kids and their teachers? And it was a carefully organized event where everybody on campus had a wonderful time, even the kid that got a bee sting one year, and I think somebody else fell and skinned a leg or a knee or something. Anyway, I figured that it should not be just my activity, but it should have status as a university event, and so that the others that helped would get letters in their files saying that they'd put on an event for the Jamboree, the professors and so forth. Faculty getting credit, that we should have a budget. It didn't need to be big, but it should be recognized on the books. I didn't ask for much, and I appealed to the then president. By the way, the dean and the president are no longer dean and president here. And he ignored my letter. He never answered it. That was the spring, right after I discovered that the Jamboree was my job. So the next fall, when all of you were having to decide on your outings and where you were going to go with your school buses and all, I sent him the request all over again and said, "You might have missed seeing this before." And again, he totally ignored it. And the communication was so bad anyway between him and the faculty that that was really the end. I didn't pursue it anymore, and I instead took a class to England with some of your teachers for children's lit, Rose Corgan at Virgin at Verdon, and Ann Linval and Helen Jameson at South School in Taylorville, and some others, and that took up all the time second semester, and then we repeated it the next year, and we still had the same president, though my dean had left, as I told you, thank goodness, and we never did get back to it. And since then, I've done two more European trips, and by the way, teachers, I'm planning a mystery book tour for the spring of 1994, and another children's lit for spring of 1995. So if you're interested, let me know, and I'll then let you know when things start getting firmed up. Well, we had special times here besides the jamboree, too. For instance, for a number of years, kids would come out and do the actual reading on the Reading Your Writing program. We'd have four or five of you come from one class, and we'd rehearse the readings, and then we'd do them, and that was always a lot of fun. And another time, we had a cast of kids, and Jan Grimes and Debbie Meister. They turned four of our programs into plays for a national radio show for kids, and our plays were good, but the national radio show for kids never came off, so that you never heard it. But you've heard some of those over Reading and Writing and Radio. And then on TV, we had a bunch of you come and do your moon poems of Vachel Lindsay. And we had a program here in SSU in the Brookings Auditorium called Green. And you all had written things having to do with the greenness of the earth or other things that were green. And that was a wonderful program. We filled the auditorium. We had one in the atrium during the Verbal Arts Festival one year. So we have expanded on the program here and there, and we've had some of your writings published in newspapers, some of your hometown papers, sometimes in the Illinois Times. That's happened over the years. Well, let me say some words about the programs themselves. Next week you're going to have Monster, and that was where I teamed up with Tim Veach when he was a kid. Now he's got a kid of his own, and he's finished graduate school. He is a dancer and acts in plays. He's an actor, and he's having quite a good career. And his wife is also producing plays, and so they're well on their way. I used my own kids in the programs. They're in the poetry program, and you're the youngest, one of the poetry programs, and others. And then recently you heard Marion Levin and myself in the Miss Meanie program, the time capsule program. This year you've heard Elizabeth Graham when she was almost 90 on the memorizing program. We've had various guests participate. John Knoefel, who is a professor here, he's now retired, but he had an interview and he read the poem about all the dogs of Auburn that I've always liked. We've had other visiting authors from out of town. We had Dick Durbin, our congressman, who came and had questions from you kids, and that was an extremely good program. We let that one go on for a whole hour, incidentally, and ran it for double time. I was also a wandering reporter with my mother, asking her about her childhood, with my nephews, with others, asking how they made money. We've had a number of wandering reporter programs. My daughter Ellie did two programs on a grant from her college. One we were going to play this year, and then I couldn't find it. But then I did find it, so it isn't lost, but we didn't replay it. Called Tending to the Baobabs. I tried for balance during every year of newly prepared and recorded programs and ones that we'd previously used, about 50-50, up until these last 2 years when the funding fell through and I wasn't getting any help in having time to generate the new programs. And I also tried for a variety of format. Sometimes it's just been me talking, like today. We've had panel discussions, like on the You're the Youngest program. We've had the Roving Reporter, where I go and ask this person and that person. We've had the plays. The teachers did one themselves on peanut butter, as I recall, and we've had several classes that produced shows called Kids in Charge, and we ran those. We've had interviews, and you have interviewed your parents and grandparents and neighbors on olden times in Patchwork Quilt, for instance. We've had series of stories, like the Round Barn stories. And that one of those, had sound effects that Brad Swanson and I did together. Kurt and I had fun with the sound program on the Genie, Din, what was the name of that program? Anyway, we had all the different sound effects. And then there's been one that's been all music, the fantasy trip that I've used a lot of times because you and your teachers have liked that one. And we've had quite a variety of subjects. Some we've used over and over, ones that we always got good writing from. The fantasy trip, as I said, and there's always Pooh and Me and James Morrison Morrison about names and My Mom the Mechanic and Tall Girl. She's Joe Hackett's daughter, and she's married now and has a baby and is working at a good job, Joe tells me. The one on being clever and on being stupid. And I've never steered away from the hard subjects either, for even though they may be hard to write on, we need to write on them. Death and divorce and anger and hate and fears and inadequacies and how we feel when our classmates or families or our friends or our teachers treat us badly and how we feel when we do mean things and why we do them. Every idea is acceptable and can be read on the air. Well, how do we choose? We haven't chosen by spelling or handwriting, although it's nice to get papers that we can read, but we can usually figure out the ones where the writer is having trouble with the skills and get the ideas. I'm not saying skills aren't important and useful and that you don't need to learn them, but what is the use of the most elegant sentence in the world if it doesn't say anything and if it doesn't mean anything to you? By the way, the whole language approach that's now coming into schools is what we've used on reading and writing and radio for all these 19 years and the years up at the university. But I won't go into that right now. But it's your ideas and how you express them. Interesting detail, a good story, a fresh way of saying something, that's how we choose. And only a fraction of the papers that we ought to read and want to read get read over the air. I read as many of you as I can. That's why I read so fast. And I try not to repeat, though some of you get around it by being anonymous. Joe Caruso's class this year is practically all anonymous, and I could be reading the same kids every program. And some of you I do read more than once, and then our very last program we sometimes read kids more than once. But we try to spread it out. Well, is there any future for reading and writing and radio now that it's drawing to a close? I think there are too many good programs. We have hundreds of them. To have them go to waste and to crumble away somewhere on a shelf. And so I put in for a sabbatical and didn't get it, but I'm going to put in for it again, and I think I will get it, to work with some of you, Ann and Joe and Bill Ortman, and make tapes available, figure a manual, figure a packaging, how you could use these in the classroom when it isn't being broadcast over the air. I can't take the time yet because Round Barn isn't finished, and I've told you about that book has now been taken and is going to be published, but I plan to get back with all of you that are willing in another year or so. Someday I might get around to retiring, but not yet, not yet. What about you? I want you to keep reading, keep writing about the joys in your life, the sorrows, and the pains. I want you to find joy and satisfaction in the writing, even if the subject is sad or hard. The poet Shelley says, "Our sweetest songs are those that tell of saddest thought." I want you to write made-up stories, but also to have a good percentage of your own experiences. You'll be glad you wrote them down when you're older, and so will your kids, to discover what your life was like when you were their age. I want you to go after excellence, to go after interest in your living as well as in your writing. Keep your eyes bright. Work for the good in everything you do. And one big part of that can be in paying special attention to preserving our planet. And that's a big subject that I'm sure that you're studying at school. How about memorizing something once in a while so that you will have interesting furniture in your brain to keep you company all your life? And don't let anybody squelch you to tell you that you're no good. Other kids or older brothers or sisters or parents or teachers or your own insides, that voice inside you that sometimes discourages you and says, "Oh, I can't do that. I'm no good." So that's what I want for you. Well, what about your writing for today? Saying goodbye, of course. You've all had to. Sometimes it's a relief when you want to get away. Sometimes it's routine, visits to certain friends, grandparents maybe, even leaving your class and teacher and moving up a grade. There may be some regret and pain in that, though there was for me. And sometimes goodbyes are very painful, leaving a best friend when you move or when they move away from you. And then there's the big goodbye, which is death of a pet or a grandparent. Some of you have lost parents or a brother or a sister or a friend, and you don't always get to say goodbye when there's a death, but you have to say it in your heart. So today, think of a time that you said goodbye, or someone said goodbye to you, and write about it, how you felt about it, how they felt about it, maybe a chance when you didn't get to say goodbye. And send it in soon so that we'll be able to read some of these goodbyes on our final Reading Your Writing programs. Something else I sometimes do on these programs is advertise, so here's a quickie. We're having a Women's Studies fundraiser on Mary Wollstonecraft, the first feminist, on April 23rd and 24th at Brookings Auditorium, and I'm in it up to my neck, doing a lot of the publicity and creating interest and so forth, and it's going to be a reader's theater? So call into Sangamon State or call into me if you're interested, and I'll see about giving you more details and tickets and so forth. And I want to say thanks to you kids, to you teachers, thanks to Kurt and to our earlier engineers, thanks to Sue Anders, my helper this year, and earlier helpers over the years, thanks to WSSU and to Sangamon State for agreeing that part of my job should be this program. I have loved it. And when our last Reading Your Writing program is over, pack up your sideband in its old, that's a tune, isn't it? Pack up your sideband in its old brown box and send it to me. Or drop it off at the information booth at the PAC building, addressed clearly to me, so that I can check it in and be sure it's checked in right. I'll remind you of this again in a letter. I'll accept you, Bill Ortman. Hang on to yours for now, and I'll see what I can do about it. Okay, Kurt, now let's finish with another song, an old camp song. Let's raise our lovely voices again in song.
We're sorry we're going away. We wish that we could stay. We're going to miss you. We wish we could kiss you. We're sorry we're going away. Goodbye.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.